listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Bible verse I want you to turn to is in James chapter 5. But I want to say before I get to that Bible verse that we as human beings are prone to have dark days. Anybody have a dark day? I'm not talking about an eclipse here. I'm just talking about a time in space where we just feel like things are caving in on us. It's how we handle those dark days that says a lot about ourselves. How are you handling the dark days? I want to talk about processing dark days that we might find ourselves in. James chapter 5 and verse 17. James the writer makes this statement, and he says this of an Old Testament character named Elijah. Elijah was a prophet. He was known as one of the major prophets of the Bible. And he says this of Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. I love the transparency with which God's word describes real men and real women of the Bible. I think on most every page of Scripture, you'll meet people that are like us. And Elijah's an example of that. He's very human. James 5:17 says plainly that God's prophet Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So I'd like to talk about Elijah and take a closer look into his life. We meet Elijah at a point of real depression in Kings chapter 1. In that passage of Scripture, 1 Kings, we learn from his life and we see this truth: even the most godly people get discouraged at times. I pastored for many years, and I believe that God has laid on me a mantle of pastoring. There are other ministry gifts mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. They are that of an apostle, prophet, evangelist, and teachers, besides the ministry gift of a pastor. As I study those ministry gifts, I've been made aware of the fact that the prophetic ministry gift is very susceptible to depression. People who walk in that mantle, and prophets that I've known on a personal level, struggle with depression. It's not limited to prophetic ministries. We all are subject to real depression. We get discouraged at times very, very easily. Bear in mind, though, there are ways to guard against taking a full plunge into depression. I want to help you this morning. I want to keep you from falling over the cliff, so to speak. But first, let's take some bad advice off the table. I don't know where you get your counsel or who speaks into your life or what your mode of operation is. Some of it is just plain bad advice. And I want to deal with that first before I give you some constructive help today. Here are a few things not to do when depression encroaches the doorway of your life. Here's the first thing I advise you not to do, is that is to find a place by yourself. That's not always good advice. I've run into people time and time again, and I don't know how many times I've heard people say, just give me space. I need to get by myself. Maybe you've said that. That could be a dangerous place to find yourself. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah had just come off a major victory in his life. And he finds himself, after this victory, physically exhausted. And he is emotionally spent. Has anybody in this room ever poured yourself out in such a way that you're just drained completely? So what does Elijah do? Elijah chooses to sit under a juniper tree to get by himself. Sitting under the tree isn't the problem. The problem is, why is he under the tree? That's the real problem. And I'll tell you why he's under that tree. He wanted to be by himself, and he was encroaching upon a state of depression in his life. Even Elijah, the prophet of God, the great man of God, I might add, finds himself in this deplorable posture. The fact is that depression can shut out something we need the most, and that is people who love us and want to encourage us. So beware of isolation. Beware of saying to yourself, I just need space. I need to be by myself. Listen, those dark clouds are not going to go away as long as you're trying to do life on your own. Honestly, consider the answer to these hard questions. I'm going to pose them to you. Think about it. Do you have fewer personal friends than you had a year ago? That might say you're pulling away from people. That might be a heads up that maybe you're taking counsel from yourself, which is not good. Secondly, when you come home, do you often retreat away from your family? Do you go hide in your special little area? Do you need your space? Thirdly, are you avoiding getting together with others? Do you make excuses for not getting together with people? Is your worst nightmare to be trapped in a corner by someone who loves you and is asking you what's wrong? You fear that. If you want to invite depression in your life, find a place to be by yourself. That's a crucible or a place to create a problem. Let me give you the second thing not to do. The second thing not to do is to focus on the negative. Listen, everyone faces both negative and positive things in their life. That's the journey. But notice how Elijah focused on the negative. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 4, we learn that he had just lost the grip on truth. He basically says these few things, and they are, says there, he broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But here's the funny part about this. The Lord was not in the wind. Feature that. The wind was definitely a manifestation of the Lord. It had powerful effects around it. The Bible says the Lord was not in the wind. Goes on and says, and after the wind, an earthquake. I don't know about you. I remember the first earthquake I was ever in. Sharon and I and the kids were in Southern California. We're shopping in a Mervyn store. Place started to shake. What's going on here? Ask the cashier. Furniture, that was the wrong thing to do. It was shaking pretty violently. Another experience was I was in my office here, and there started to be this movement around me. I looked out the window and the power lines are wiggling. How many remember those Aberdeen days? I mean, it changed downtown Aberdeen. Some of the buildings to this day have cracks in them because of the earthquakes. But the Bible says here, after the wind, an earthquake shows up. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Some of my relatives are posting fire information coming out of Nevada. You don't have to go as far as Nevada to get fire reports. There's a lot of that happening in and around us. Scripture says, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the 12th verse says, the sound of a low whisper. That's pretty amazing. Elijah had seen some dramatic stuff in his life and had come to the place where that didn't faze him so much anymore. But then God shows up in a whisper to him. You know what? The Bible says Elijah gets all fired up. Because he allows God to reveal himself to him in whatever form God wants to reveal himself to him. You might be looking for God to show up in your life, and you've kind of painted a picture of what that could look like and how it's going to look like, and he doesn't show up like that. Then he shows up in some obscure manner. You've got to allow him and let him reveal himself to you. Number one, let God confront you. Number two, let him reveal himself to you. Thirdly, allow him or let him provide for you. We're talking about when you find yourself in those dark days. After God reveals himself to Elijah in a small and gentle voice, we read in this passage that God supernaturally sends food and provides rest for Elijah. How many know God's never late? He always shows up, and he shows up at the right time. And God's going to minister to you if you'll receive his provision. Don't you dare start dictating to God how it's supposed to happen. It's not a good idea. You're not God. He's God. He's got this. It's a little scary sometimes when we start telling God what to do. He's going to show up how he wants to show up, and he'll provide for you. Don't get in a tizzy fit with God, okay? Now, here's the next point. This is huge. Immediately do what God says. Not now, but right now. Don't let any grass grow under your feet. When God tells you what to do, it's incumbent upon us to do something and act accordingly. God gives some very specific instructions to Elijah in verses 15, 16, and 17. So whatever God is saying you need to do, do it immediately. That's called first time and instant obedience. And when we walk with God, that's what God's after. He puts you through a meat grinder so that you will learn instant obedience. And, I might add, first-time obedience. Don't you want that of your children? Go clean your room. Come on, church. Translate that to adults. It's the same idea. God wants first time and immediate responses from us. So do what God says and do it right away. Okay, we're talking about overcoming depression, right? Let me give you the fifth and the final here today. Next, get involved with people. After all of this, God sends Elijah back to civilization. You see, you're prone to isolate yourself. Give me space. That's not really God. I'm not taking away from the fact you need to be before God and spend time with him, but rarely does he ask you to isolate yourself from people. Rarely does he do that. Remember, God did not isolate Elijah. That was Elijah's own doing. God wasn't in that. And what you need to do today is to get back in the game, whatever that looks like for you. Because the alternative and the consequences thereof aren't good. Remember last Sunday I talked about two camps, the camp of God and the camp of the enemy. God's camp is for you to engage, be part of his people, his house, his call on your life. The enemy's camp is to destroy you. And he'll do that by convincing you you need to be your own person. So ask God to give you the courage this morning to meet and to follow him each and every day. And I'm here to tell you this morning, he will renew your heart with hope. If you felt like there's no hope, come on, church. That's not the voice of God. That's a person hiding in a cave, wallowing in their own world, and trying to find their own solutions. But that's not the God we serve. God wants to draw you out. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to convince him that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. He wants you to understand that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He wants you to know that he has you on assignment. And we're in a season in God right now that requires your best effort. But we get ourselves in a funk. There are some things you should not do when you find yourself in this state. And I've given you several things you need to do to get yourself out of these dilemmas and get your feet on some solid footing as a man and a woman of God. Because I think this, if I can say it, we've been called to be more than mere Christians. I have to say that, and that's the word Christian in the Western world is a kind of a twisted concept. Christian, what do you mean by that? Well, I believe there's a God out there. I think he likes me so much that when I die, he's going to give me a mansion in heaven. And he's going to give me lakefront property so I can fish all day and night and catch whoppers. You've already caught a whopper. Christian, what does that mean? I want you to know, church, God has a calling for you. He has a purpose for you. He's arrested you to be a disciple, a disciplined follower of Jesus. That's who you are. And the enemy wants to put you in some cave where you can I say, wallow in your self-pity? You're not to remain there. Doesn't mean you're not going to have ups and downs in your life. You're going to have those. I'm here to actually promise that, because that's what the Bible says. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have it. But what you do in the middle of that tribulation is the big deal. That's where the rubber meets the road. We're going to have dark days. I'm here to tell you, there's a sun out there. There's hope. A man of God that I once knew always said this: you're going to make it. Those were his coined words. You're going to make it. I'm going to say this: you're going to make it in Christ Jesus. You will make it. It's up to you how you apply yourself and the word to your life. I want you to stand with me, if you would, right now. I believe this message was meant for somebody here. It's time for you to turn the corner. It's time for you to call on God. Elijah, that great guy, great man of God, who would have thought he'd find himself in such a deplorable state? But he did. And God showed up. No judgment. Grace, mercy extended. And I want you to know the next years of his life were pretty impactful, because he raises up an Elijah. Who does twice what he does. That's great stuff, church. Great place to say amen. You're going to be looking for your Elijahs to impart the deposit of God into them so that the kingdom of God would just explode in Grays Harbor. Better days for you, church. The cave's damp, it's wet, it's cold, it's a place of isolation. You don't belong in this cave. That's not your home. Your place is under the canopy of God's anointing. And who knows where he will take you. I gave you a little clue earlier in the service on how you can participate with him in terms of gathering in the harvest. All this afternoon, when you meet people at Walmart, Safeway, whoever, wherever, start asking, what church you go to? Don't go to church. Oh, you should go to church. Start reaching out. Be bold as a lion. Who knows what God wants to do in the next 6 months through you as you come out of the cave. Be bold as a lion. We've got some prayer people that want to pray anointing over your life today. Just anoint you with oil to break yokes, bondage. Step out, right, David? You said something to that effect earlier. Time to step out. Be bold for God. And this is your moment. So we're going to wrap up that way. We're going to give an opportunity to pray or get prayer to break the yoke of depression. to see the power of God demonstrated through you in your world. God hasn't given us King County. He's given us Grays Harbor. We'll let King County worry about King County. We're going to invest in our garden and take real good care of our garden. But be careful that the enemy doesn't sucker you in with some off-speed pitch, cause you to strike out. If you do, there's still another chance. God will give you another time at bat. But don't get in a worry over that. We're going to pray for you today. Break yokes. Set you free. Help you. The Spirit of the Lord will be upon you. We're going to close like that. But I want to remind you, 5 o'clock this afternoon, we're going to gather on the banks, not of the Ohio River. We're going to gather on the banks of the Humtulips River and do God's work. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your love toward us. Even when we find ourselves in dark days, you have a way out. Thank you, Jesus. I pray for those that will receive ministry today, Lord, that they'll walk from this place free as a bird to pursue you and understand your grace, your mercy, and yet a new and better way. So we invite you to come, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Come for prayer. You're dismissed if you must go. God is good. He is always good.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.